You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Have you ever seen the most published, the largest distributed book in the whole world? Have you ever seen that? Here's one. It's in tiny little print, Pastor.
You can still read that.
And you know, I love this book because over all these years, I've marked all my favorite verses in here. This is one of the most important books in my life. Does this represent the Word of God?
No.
Let's all say it together. Does this represent the Word of God?
No.
No. No. It
is.
It is the Word of God. A lot of people forgot that. Now I want you all to know today, this is the most wonderful book. Everything we need to know is in this book. And I wonder how often you take this book out and say, I wonder what the Lord says. The Lord will tell us. And it's got the answer to every problem in the whole world. It is God's Word, and what a blessing. I wonder how many of you in the church this morning realize that the Lord is here. God made a promise right in that book. He said, where two or three people are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Are you aware of that? So what that Bible says is he's right here, standing right in this aisle. He's right here with us this morning. He knows you're here. And the one thing Jesus said, which is so important, Jesus said, this new command I give you, that you
love one another.
And that's a part of a problem in our country today. There's not enough love. There's so much hatred. And we have to, as Christians, give an example that we're not normal. We're not like people of this world. And so I want you to always remember that Christians are not
normal.
Oh, you can do better than that now. Christians are not
normal.
We're different. We're not like people of this world. And we're to love one another. Jesus said that. And even if you got somebody you don't really like, what do you think we ought to do for them? Pray for them. That God blesses us. And that's the mission of the church. The mission of the church for me has gotten simpler. You know, the people that really get it are the children. I'm convinced of it. A little child can know about Jesus. And the last words of Jesus are found recorded so simply in the very words of the gospel that were read to us today. Go into all the world. Jesus wants every person in the world to be saved and know about his free gift of salvation. And when he said, go into all the world, that means little countries, foreign countries, countries that have never had a missionary. And that's why we need to send the missionaries. And he said, send them into all the world. Do you know where the church is growing the fastest? All of you this morning should know that. Where is the church growing the fastest? In the poorest countries. In Africa. Some years ago, I went to the Makana Jesus Lutheran Church in Ethiopia, in East Africa. Do you know how many people they're baptizing in that country in East Africa every day? There's over 1,000 people being every day being baptized in dark countries. And you need to know that. It's not here in the United States. We got a problem here in the United States. We've got too much. In James 2:5, I want you to listen to the words of James 2:5. Listen, my dear brothers, has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and inherit the kingdom I promised them? In the Lutheran Church of Ethiopia, where I visited there in East Africa, in that one church, in that one country, they have 11 million Lutheran Christians. That's five times the membership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, our church here in the United States. The people there are hungry for Jesus. And I think that's an important thing that all of us realize. And what a joy it is to know that God can bless his work in such a special way when we love one another. So that's the message I'm going to bring. You know, over in Africa, where the church is really growing, did you know that I traveled there and we were in the back country, in the jungle country, and there was a snake that came across the road. And that snake is right here. This is an African python. Wow. Now I want you to know that this is just the pattern off the back. The sides and belly are white on this. Did you ever see a big snake like that? Mm-mm. And I want you to know that it's about three or four times this size. And this is an African python. But that's not the biggest snake in the world. I wonder if you've ever seen the biggest snake in the world. I got one because I was down in South America is where they have the largest snake. And the largest snake is the anaconda. This is an anaconda. And I was able to see this snake. And I want you to know again, the sides and belly are white on this snake. So it's about four times this size, and this snake can grow up to weigh 500 pounds. And that's one of the snakes that they have down there. And that's where the church is growing also, where we just started 21 new congregations down in South America where this snake lives. But I wonder how many of you really know what's going on. I want to share with you, I spoke at a large church up in Michigan. How many of you know what this is? Up in Minneapolis, they just put up loudspeakers all over Minneapolis for this right here. Any of you know what this is? This is a prayer rug, a Muslim prayer rug. How many of you realize this is the fastest growing religion in the United States of America right now? Lots of big families. And up in Minneapolis, they put up loudspeakers, so five times a day, call to prayer. And the people fall down and they put these prayer rugs out. And they pray to Allah. Allah is not the God of the Bible. This is the fastest growing religion in the United States, and it's the fastest growing religion in Iowa and Nebraska. I had spoken in a church, and a lady came over afterwards. She said, well, I don't like what you had to say, because those good people are going to be in heaven also. What's the Bible say about that? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. When they pray five times a day, they're not praying to our God of the Bible, they're praying to Allah and His Prophet Muhammad. And the biggest sin a Muslim can commit is to say that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. That's their biggest sin. Allah is the prophet. And there's only one God, and that is Allah. We need to be aware of what is going on right now And we need to know that God has a special plan. I love this congregation, and I'm so grateful that you asked me to come and speak here. Because the last time I spoke here, there was a family that was impacted by the message. And that family, before I left, said, "Missionary Gary, could we bring our 4 children up to Mission Central to see that miracle place?" I said, "Oh, sure you can. Here at this church." And the family came up and they had 4 children. It was a wonderful, wonderful visit. They had 4 children. The youngest was 4 years old. Until the day I die, I'll never forget that little 4-year-old girl from this congregation. That family came up. They brought a wonderful gift for a missionary. We gave them a tour, and I said to the dad, I said, "We're going down to that little chapel right there that you see in the picture. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to ask God to bless that gift that your family has left, so it will tell people about Jesus in a land of great darkness, Kyrgyzstan." Kyrgyzstan. So it was wonderful to have a chance to have that family come. And I want you to know that that family will always have a special place in my heart. But that little 4-year-old girl, the youngest one, came into that chapel that you see right there at Mission Central. And that little girl sat right in the front pew. And we had a prayer to ask God to bless that gift that that family had given. And then it happened. That's when I looked at that little 4-year-old girl who was sitting right in the front pew in our little chapel there. And I said, "Honey, before you go back to your home, I want you to answer a couple of questions for me." And I said, "What I want you to answer is, first of all, who's the statue of on our altar here in our little chapel? Who is that statue of?" Now think how you would answer that. Just think in your mind how you would answer that. Who is the statue of? You know what that little 4-year-old girl said? She looked up at me and smiled, and she said, "That's my Jesus." Whoa, pretty special, huh? She said, "That's my Jesus." I said, "That is your Jesus, honey. But," I said, "I want you to look at his hands, and there on his feet, what are those marks there?" And that little girl looked up. She said, "That's where the nails are." How old was she?
4.
Let's say it together. How old was she?
4
years old, from your congregation. That little girl sat there with a smile on her face. I said, "That's right. That is your Jesus." But I said, "What are those marks on his hands and on his feet? What are those?" That little 4-year-old girl smiled and she said, "That's where the nails were." Well, I said, "That's true, honey, but the last is the most important question. I want you to think about it now, honey." I said, "When Jesus hung there on that cross, he had the sins of the whole world on his shoulders. All the sins of the whole world was there on his shoulders. He suffered more than any human being ever suffered in anybody's life. He suffered so." And I said, "The real question is this, the last question. Who did he do that for?" Now you think about, in your mind, right here this morning, what would you have said? I want you to know what that little 4-year-old girl from this congregation said. She looked up at me with an angelic face, and she said, "He did that for me. He knows my name." Wonder how many adults would have said that. "He did that for me. He knows my name." Because of what Jesus did on that cross and how he suffered, we know that this old world is not our home. Heaven is our home. And I'm going to see you there, son. we're going to be together. And we don't have to say, I hope so. We know for certain. And that's how simple it is. In Matthew 18:3, that's what Jesus did with the Pharisees. They were some of the leaders of the church, and they had all the answers. Well, they had everything memorized. They knew just what the rules were. And what did Jesus say to them in Matthew 18:3 when he had that little child on his lap? He said to them, unless you change and become like a little child in your faith, you'll not enter my kingdom. It's a childlike faith that saves. And the older I've gotten, on all these 84 years, I realize how simple it is. Jesus loves you. And he wants every one of you today to be with us in heaven together. And as I greet you when you leave the church today, I'm going to say something to you, and I hope you'll answer it right. I said, I'm going to say to you, I'll see you later. And I hope you understand what I'm saying, that I will see you later because Jesus lives in your heart, honey. He lives right there in your heart. And you keep him there as long as you can. And I want you to do that too, because I want to see you again. And that's why I want you young people to have Jesus in your heart as long as you live, because I'm going to be in heaven before you. And I'll be waiting for you. So will you promise me you'll keep Jesus in your heart as long as you live? I'll see you later. I don't have to say goodbye to you. We're going to be together, aren't we? In our real home. Well, I want to share with you, it's really a blessing to know that God can use people like us. Whoop, there we go. I want you to know that miracles are happening and the average person has not a clue what's going on. There's a lot of people dead asleep. Well, I want to try to wake you up with God's help today. And I want you to know that God is still doing miracles just like he did in the Bible. But you know what? You just don't hear about him. I got three miracles that have happened, and it's something absolutely amazing. I'm just stunned. I am just stunned. There you saw those snakes that are far away. And in those lands, there are people that never heard the name of Jesus. I want to ask you, how long have you known about Jesus?
About 73 years.
Yeah, your whole life. We're spoiled rotten. We've had Jesus our whole life. There are people that never heard his name. I was at a baptism of an 85-year-old woman in Africa. She just cried and cried. She was being baptized. She never heard the name of Jesus till she was 85 years old. We got to get to those people. And it's so important. Yep, these were some of the snakes. Those are the two snakes that I had right here. But even in the corn and soybean country of Nebraska and Iowa, there's miracles going on. Something happened on July 24th of 2023. I was out in Nebraska going to a rural church. I go there every year for their mission festival. You know what they do at their mission festival? They take an offering. Do you know how many people were at that church this past year when I went? 41. I asked them to come to the Bible class. Boy, you folks turned out in the Bible class this morning. I was happy. There was 41 people, and 41 of those people came to the Bible class there at that little rural church. And I go there every year, and you know, I get to stay with a farmer and his family out there. And that farmer and his family have a rule. And you know what that rule is? That the first 20 bushel of their soybeans that are sold go to their free will offering. And you know, for those 41 people that was at the church this last year at that little rural church, you know what their offering came to? $166,000. Hello. That power is out here. when the people really get it. Well, on July 24th, something happened right out in that area of that rural church that had 41 people. Something happened. And I want you to know this is what happened. Anybody know what that is?
Hail.
You know what that does to a farmer? He loses his crop. And it was late in the year. So I stayed with that family, and the farmer said, Gary, it looks like this year I won't be able to provide anything for our free will offering because I'm not going to raise any soybeans. Because when the hail got done with it, this is what was left of the soybeans. So he said, I think I want to plant some old seed that I have so that there's some vegetation that comes up to catch some of the snow over the winter so we can keep that moisture. So he went out and replanted after July. Well, something happened. They got some additional rains they'd never had in August and September. And what happened? He said, I was shocked. He said, I could see that the soybeans were setting on. And he said, I think I'm going to harvest those second crop to see how much was there. So he got the combine out, as you can see, and he went right down the rows with that second planting. And guess what happened? He got 22 bushel an acre. Guess what he did? He gave that for their free will offering. And that free will offering came to $166,000. Interesting how God uses people. You know where that $166,000 went? To that couple right there. They're in Kyrgyzstan. That's a total Muslim country. I took that picture of Kip and Ivy Hake. I've got their picture back there on my table. If you want to pick that up and pray for that family, that'd be the best thing you could do. Take it personally. And there's a picture of my boss in the background. That's who I work for. And so do you. Now I want you to know that Kip and Ivy went over there to Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan. Kyrgyzstan is a country they went to that's totally a Muslim country, and they've never had a missionary, but that little congregation out there sent Kip and Ivy Hake to a land called Kyrgyzstan. And what a joy and blessing to see in that primitive country the farmers over there. See that farmer right there? That's the type of hat that every farmer over in Kyrgyzstan wears. I went out and was with the people in the farms. I've never lived in town. I've been on the farm my whole life. I don't have one day of college. I'm the dumbest guy you know. But God uses all kinds of people to get his work done. And I want you to know, this is what they raise over there in Kyrgyzstan. They raise sheep. Their culture is centered around their farms. But all of them are Muslim. And I want you to know that that's their home. All the farmers live in yurts like that. They live in a yurt, and I want you to know that this is what they eat. Anybody know what that guy's butchering? What do you think that is? Huh? That's a horse. They eat horse meat. Their culture is different. And I want you to know, this is a typical family over there. They're all Muslim. And that's the way they pray. And nobody has told them about the Savior of the world. But Kip and Ivy Hake came over, and they come to these people, and they're farmers. And there on the right-hand side of the picture is your missionary, Kip Hake, H-O-E-C-H. And he introduced them to hybrid seed corn. All those folks on the left-hand side of the picture are farm people. And what a joy and blessing to know that our missionary, Kip Hake, brought them Bibles. And for the first time, that man is seeing a Bible, the Word of God. And what a joy to come to these people and be able to do what that missionary, Kipek, is doing. What's he doing?
Baptizing.
What a joy. You know, the Bible says there's much rejoicing in heaven over how many? One person. Think of the rejoicing in heaven over that lady. And look at that little lady in her home being baptized by our missionary. That's what this thing is all about. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God's prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to take a look at that lady. She's from Ames, Iowa. I met her 20 years ago. I never got over that lady. And I want you to know what a special lady she was. She was a single school teacher. And that little lady and I got acquainted when I spoke at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ames, Iowa. She said, I'd really like to come to Mission Central and see that miracle place. But she said, Gary, I don't drive and there's no way I can get there. I said, oh yeah, there is. I'll come and get you. I'll drive down some morning and you can spend the day. I'll pick you up. Would you do that? I said, sure. I want you to see this miracle place. She came up there, and of all the thousands of people we've had come to Mission Central, I want you to know that she was the most impressed. She said, I can't believe what's happened here. She said, this is a miracle place. She said, the thing you don't know, Gary, is my dad left me the home farm. I have income coming off that home farm, and I know what I'm going to do with that income now. Every year, you and I are going to get together, and we're going to pick out some missionaries to support. I said, really? Yeah, she said, I want to do that. Every year after that, in those 20 years, that little lady right there did more than some whole congregation because she had that farm that her dad left her. And then, 2 years ago, she called and said, Gary, I just want to tell you, I've made my estate plans now, planning for the future. And when God calls me home, Gary, Mission Central is going to get a nice gift. We didn't talk about an amount. Interesting. I want you to know that this, within the last year and a half, something happened. I got a telephone call from Ames, Iowa. It was a stranger. And the stranger said, Gary, are you aware of your friend Myra Nell dying? No, nobody told me, I said. She was a dear friend. Well, I'm the executor of the estate. I'm an attorney here in Ames, Iowa. He said, something's happened. Oh, I said, really? Yes, he said, would you have the need for a nice gift? I said, well, yeah. Well, he said, I'm working on the estate, and I'll be calling you again to let you know how things are going, but she has left a gift. I said, well, I heard about that a couple years ago. In the next several weeks, I received an email from our three seminaries down in South America, Brazil, Argentina, and the Dominican Republic. We got people being trained down there to start new churches. And I got this email, and you know what it said? We've heard about this Mission Central place, and we want to know if you could help us to start 21 new churches, because we have 21 new graduates going to be pastors that want to start new churches in South America down here where they've never had a church before. Could you help us? We don't have the funding to even do this. I wrote back and I said, at Mission Central, we know where every penny of our gift is going. I need to know the names of the families, those 21 families, the dollar amount they need, and an account number where I can keep track of this funding so you can start 21 new churches. So I need to know the names of the family, the dollar amount, and an account number. They wrote that back. Every man's name with the dollar amount they needed to start those churches. in those countries. You know what the total came to? $2.1 million. It costs something to start a church. You got to have a new, have to get them a car, a vehicle, a home, a place for them to worship. How much was it? $2.1 million. I thought, Lord, how are you going to do that? Then I got a call from that guy in Ames, Iowa, the attorney. He said, I just want to tell you, Gary, now I'm ready to send you the check. I'm going to send you the check from Myra Nell's estate, that little lady right there. I said, well, wonderful. He said, I'll just tell you that I'll be sending this check in the mail today, and it's for, say it out loud, $2.1 million. Exactly the amount we needed. That'll make you cry. That kind of miracle thing is happening. God's doing miracle stuff. You just don't hear about it, do you? Our God is still doing miracle stuff. And what a blessing. And that's where these new churches all got started, down in South America. Yep, in that agreement, we were able to send $2.1 million to start these churches down in South America. There's some of the instructors that are teaching in those seminaries down there. These are some of the students that are there. And there's a group of new pastors that are going to start brand new churches. They teach the people down there, their local people, to be pastors. Now I want to tell you another miracle story. Does anybody in the church this morning know who that guy is? Tell him, Pastor.
Dr. Dale Meyer.
Dr. Dale A. Meyer, star of stage, screen, television, and radio. He's on our staff there. He loves Mission Central. He never asked me for anything and was so helpful. He's one of my closest friends. He calls me about every week. He's not
normal.
Okay, let's get together. The only kind of people that deal with Mission Central, people who are not
normal.
That's good. Not normal. He's not a normal guy. And he called me this past year. And he said, Gary, I've never asked you for anything, but he said, we've got a wonderful opportunity. There's a man that graduated as a pastor down at Concordia, our seminary down there in St. Louis, and you know what he did? He took the call to start the first Lutheran church in an island off the tip of India, Sri Lanka. We'd never had a missionary there, and he said, this young man is excellent. He's gifted. Gary, we're going to have to raise $100,000 before we can get him on the field. Can you help? I said, I can't do anything. But I said, God can do something. He said, well, this is Tuesday morning. And he said, Gary, it's a Tuesday morning that I'm praying that we can help this young family go to Sri Lanka. I said, Dale, I'll be praying for that too. That was Tuesday morning. Tuesday afternoon, I got a telephone call. Hello, Gary. Say, this is Daryl. I just want you to know, Gary, that you spoke at our church 3 years ago, and he said, never got over that, but I never even came over and talked to you. I just heard what you had to say, and he said, now something's happened in my life. That was Tuesday afternoon. He said, I want to come and I want to visit with you. I said, get to talking. Oh, he said, I don't want to talk on the phone. I want to talk in person. He said, I live down here in Des Moines, but I want to talk to you in person. Well, I said, my days are all scheduled so heavy, but I do have tomorrow morning at 9:30, if you want to come. He said, I'll come. Now, that was a Tuesday afternoon. And then on Wednesday morning, At 9 o'clock, this man showed up. I didn't know him from a load of hay. Dale even came up and spoke in our barn. There he is in the barn. And that's the family that wanted to go, that needed the help. I never even told Daryl and his wife anything about the amount that we needed. And this man came in and sat down at my desk, and you know what he said? He said, "Have you got a brand new missionary that really needs help?" "Oh, yeah," I said. "Dale Meyer called me yesterday and said he had a brand new family going to Sri Lanka." That was the family right there. That's the new missionary we have in Sri Lanka. I never talked about money or amounts that we needed, nothing. And old Daryl sat there, he said, "That's the family that's going to go?" I said, "Yeah." He looked over at his wife and he said, "Ma, get the checkbook out. Make that check for $50,000. What do you think I did? "That's right," I cried. God sent that family the next day on a Wednesday morning. It was really something. And then I cried. I gave them a tour, and we got through with the tour. We went down to our little chapel. I said, "We're going down to that little chapel that you saw where the little four-year-old girl spoke." We went there and asked God to bless that gift, and I never saw a guy cry like that. I said, "Daryl, I hope I haven't offended you with this prayer." He said, "Oh no, missionary Gary." He said, "I've never had this kind of joy in my heart before." You know what the Lord tells us? Every person should decide in his heart what he should give, not under compulsion. I've never asked anybody for the last 32 years, I've never asked anybody for anything. It's got to come from your heart. Every person should decide in his heart what he should give, not under compulsion. I've had people come to me and ask me for a specific amount. Oh yeah, they got it all figured out. I've never done that. I'll never ask you for anything. God doesn't need your money. He'll call the ones that he wants. And it's a very interesting thing that happened. And that man cried and he said, "Mom and I have never had this kind of joy in our heart that we can do that to send that family, to help send that family." He got up and left. What day was that?
Wednesday.
You're paying attention. And I want you to know, Thursday morning, I had another telephone call. "Hello, Gary, this is Daryl. Just wanted to tell you, Mom and I got back to Des Moines okay, and we'll never forget the joy in our hearts that we had for helping to send that family to tell people about Jesus in Sri Lanka." Sri Lanka is a land of darkness. They've got elephants. They've got wild animals in Sri Lanka, and the people don't know about Jesus. Those people are in darkness right there. Those ladies are harvesting their crop of tea leaves. And I want you to know that their children and all the people in Sri Lanka are Buddhists. They train their children to pray to Buddha. That's Gautama Buddha. They're in total darkness. There the little children are being trained to worship Buddha. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. I found that to be the case. At the right time, that certainly will happen. And there's Daryl and his wife, and I got a call from them on Thursday morning. And Daryl said, "Gary, we just called to tell you we got here okay, and we just never had the joy in our hearts. And this morning when Mom and I had our prayers together, we realized one thing. We made a mistake. We didn't give enough." He said, "We're going to send you a check this morning for another $50,000. How long did it take God to raise up that money to send that family? How many days?
Two.
3 days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Really something to see what God can do. He's doing miracle stuff, and we need to remember that. And that's why I came here. So important that we realize it's a joy. I want to share with you, it's a time for confession. It's a time for understanding our God is a miracle God. And what a joy and blessing it is to be able to see how he's still doing miracles, but you just don't hear about him. Our God is a miracle God. I don't know how many of you ever had anybody get real, real ill, and the doctors have said they're going to die, and they don't. Miracles happen, and that's what God can do. He's still doing miracles, but we don't hear that when we turn the television on, do we? Our God is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and we're supposed to be together today. I don't know about your life, but I know in mine, I've seen miracles, real miracles. And he's still doing them. And I pray that this congregation has the same kind of vision you've always had. I love to come here. Your pastors are not normal. You all know that, don't you? And what a wonderful thing that I had the privilege of knowing you, dear folks. And you're not normal. I knew that the first time I met you. And what a joy that I get to come back to my family. You're part of my family because all of us will be together in our real home. We're going to be together in our real home. And that's such a joy.